that you don't. I've done things that you won't. There's nothing like a trail of blood to find your way back home. I was waiting for my host. What came next was so much worse. It took a funeral to make me feel alive. Just open your eyes. Just open your eyes and see that life is...
Chapter 8. As it turns out, there's absolutely no bribery involved in getting the refectory to cough up a promise of a full meal, hand-delivered by a Padawan, whenever Fox wants it. The Cathar Jedi in charge of the refectory shakes the information on what Fox wants it for out of him like an experienced interrogator, spends a handful of seconds being surprised, and then immediately starts making preparations. Fox is starting to come around to this asking for help thing. It's turned out pretty damn well for him so far. With that in mind, he also swings by the florist's shop on his way back to the Senate, takes a minute for the ladies there and thanks them, then helps them find Padme's office number in the Senate listing so that they can have the flowers, supposedly from Stone and Thorn, delivered. When he mentions his dinner plans, they send him off with a bouquet of delicate, draping falls of flowers in pale lavender, soft against dark green leaves, to serve as a centerpiece. Fox is entirely smug when he gets everything set up in the barracks. It all looks good together, and maybe even looks romantic, though Fox has less experience with that sort of thing. Mace will like it, he thinks when he steps back. And Fox likes it too. If this night goes the way he wants it to, this is a good start. The food will be here in an hour, and everything else is ready, so he leaves it be for the moment and decides to check in with the investigation into his crime. And, hopefully, Palpatine's crimes. Though Fox doesn't have much expectation that Thier and Mace have gotten that far yet. Even if the Jedi Council's relationship with the Chancellor isn't great, Mace is dutiful, careful. He'll look into things just because he should, and that's all Fox needs. It's not Mace he comes across in the entrance hall of the Senate building, though. It's Padme, and it's Skywalker, and neither one of them looks happy. "What do you mean you're having second thoughts?" Skywalker is demanding, when Fox slides closer, half hidden behind a pillar. "About us." "Let's not do this here, Anakin," Padme says, faintly steely. "Do what?" Skywalker demands. "What is this supposed to be? We're married. I broke my oath for you."
"And I broke mine for you," Padme says, even. "Anakin, I'm not what you want me to be.
I want you to be my wife."
Well, Fox hadn't realized they were outright married, but that seems like all the more reason to steer Padme in the right direction. He folds his arms over his chest, leaning against the pillar in full view, and waits. There's a long second of silence, and then Padme says quietly, "Annie, I'm sorry. I've done terrible things for you because I loved you. I've actively made the war effort worse because of my attachment to you. But I can't anymore. There are more important things than romance, and I have a duty."
"What?"
Skywalker sounds completely disbelieving.
"But I love you. There's nothing more important than the way I feel about you. I traded Grievous for you," Padme says. And for the first time, it's sharp, almost vicious.
"On Naboo, when we stopped Reesh Lu, the Gungans actually captured Grievous. I betrayed them, Annie. I betrayed every Gungan and Naboo that died in that attack because how I felt was the most important thing. I didn't report you to the Council for killing a whole tribe of Tuskens either, because of how I felt. But I'm tired of being torn between my oaths and you, Annie. And I'm done. I'm done with all of this. The lies and the secrets and keeping your secrets. It's not right. I don't like who I turn into when I'm with you. So I'm ending things now."
Criff. Fox refused.
refuses to believe Skywalker is anywhere near good enough a lay to make up for any of those things. And he slants a disbelieving glance at Padme. That's a lot of bad decisions to make for one man, and clearly she needs some help to keep herself on the straight and narrow. Stone's good about rules, even if he tends to question orders more than Fox might like in normal times. But his help is clearly vital here. "I'm not gonna let you do this," Skywalker says, incredulous. "You're my wife. This is just something we need to talk about."
"We are talking about it, Anakin," Padme says. "But I've already made my decision."
Her gaze flickers past Skywalker to Fox, and she takes a breath.
"Please leave. I'll have Tekla return your things to the temple this evening."
"No," Skywalker says, almost a threat. "This isn't just your decision. I get a say in this, too. You're my wife."
"And I'm a senator, too," Padme says, all steel. "I was a queen. I covered up your murders, Annie. On Naboo, I would be charged as an accessory to those murders. Do you have any idea how awful what I did was? What you did was?
They killed my mother!"
Skywalker snaps, and he takes a step forward, almost looming over Padme, who holds her ground.
Fox isn't carrying a blaster, but he did get his knives back, and he curls his fingers around the hilt of the largest one, eyes narrowing. "They tortured her to death. It was justice. It was revenge," Padme says, and tips her chin up.
"You even killed the children, Anakin.
They were going to grow up to do the same thing."
Padme closes her eyes, and one hand curls over her stomach just for a moment. "We should never have gotten married," she says. "I regret every moment of it, and I shouldn't have to. This is over, Anakin."
"No, it's not," Anakin says loudly. "You can't do this to me."
"You heard the senator," Fox says, and pushes away from the pillar, drawing his knife. "You work for the Senate, General. They get to tell you what to do, so do it."
Skywalker spins, startled, and then glares, vicious threat and warning in one. "This isn't any of your business," he snaps, and Fox gives him an unimpressed look.
"So what are you going to do about it?" he asks. "Going to grab me by the throat? Throw me into things?"
He takes two precise steps forward, holding Skywalker's gaze.
"Going to snap my neck, Skywalker? Drop me at your feet like trash? I bet that's something you've done before. To those Tuskens, right?"
Skywalker's expression darkens, and he crosses the distance between them, right into Fox's space. And Fox doesn't flinch when a hand grabs the collar of his blacks.
"This isn't something you're involved in," Skywalker says, and the anger rising is familiar, hated. Vader was always angry, and this, it's the same. It's exactly the same. But right now, Fox can still kill him. Fox will kill him.
"Walk away, Commander. This is between me and my wife."
Fox reaches up, wraps his fingers around Skywalker's wrist. His head hurts, aches like it did right after he killed Palpatine, but he doesn't waver.
"Doesn't sound to me like she's your wife anymore," he says, and pulls Skywalker's hand away. "Get out of the Senate, or I'll call the rest of the guard."
Skywalker's mouth thins, and for an instant, Fox thinks he's going to go for his lightsaber. Instead, though, he lets go, steps away.
"This isn't over," he tells Padme, and stalks away, out into the main part of the hall and towards the door.
Padme swallows, closes her eyes. Her hands curl in the skirts of her dress, tremble, and she says quietly,
"Thank you, Commander. I appreciate you stepping in."
Fox grunts, watching Skywalker's blonde head disappear down the steps.
"He can't be that good in bed," he says.
Padme makes a sound of desperate, involuntary amusement.
then jerks a hand up to her mouth like she's belatedly trying to cover it. Stops there, just breathing for a moment, and then says, He wasn't, and it wasn't worth it. She's not shaking, not really. But then no one alive would be stupid enough to doubt Padme Amidala's nerve. Fox studies her for a moment, then asks, All right, Padme? Padme's smile is a little rueful, a little strained. I will be, she says. It's better. It's better this way. I can't betray my people any longer. Or yours. Fox thinks of what she said about trading Skywalker for Grievous on Naboo. He considers her for a long second, then says, Clones died because you picked Skywalker. Padme closes her eyes. I know, she says, soft. I can't offer any apology that means anything, Commander. Not when people died. But I regret it, and I plan to fight for you and the rest of the clones, no matter what it takes. Fox grunts, and they're clones. They were made to die in this war. He knows that, and he can't change what's already happened any more than he already has. Padme's shifting things. He'll take it over an empire and a broken neck in the future. The Senate's going to vote on the next chancellor soon. Going to put yourself in the running? Padme shakes her head. Bail has already started rallying votes, she says. He's the one we need. I never even wanted to be a senator, and I don't trust myself with the power right now. Fox tips his head in agreement, not offering reassurances, not arguing. And your kid will make things harder, he says. Padme breathes in, breathes out, then tips her chin up and meets his eyes. Kids, she corrects. Twins. I couldn't... Anakin killed children, Commander. He was angry then, but he has problems with his temper. I realized I wouldn't trust him around them. How could I possibly stay married to him knowing that, even if I didn't have a duty to everyone else? I still think you have bad taste, Fox tells her. But it's getting better. Maybe there's still hope for you. Padme laughs, a little watery, a little rough, and smiles crookedly at him. Thank you, Fox. And for before, for making me stop and think. Fox nods, accepting that. You shouldn't go back to your apartments tonight, he says. I'll get the guard to open one of the safe houses for you. Let your handmaidens know. Thank you, Padme says. I'll be in my office. There's work I need to finish. Have a good evening, Senator. Fox steps back, typing out a message to Stone, who's level-headed enough to play shoulder to cry on if Padme needs it, but still keep her safe, and then lifts his head to watch her walk away, disappearing back into the maze of the Senate halls. Interesting, he thinks. All of it is interesting. Skywalker didn't even try to skirt around what he apparently did to a tribe of Tuskens. Tatooine isn't a Republic planet, so its laws don't apply there. But revenge is definitely not a Jedi thing to indulge in, particularly if murdering kids is involved, Fox assumes. It's a little more leverage, something to think about how to use. There's a Tusken Jedi, if Fox is remembering correctly. He's the one who sources massifs for the guard, usually straight from Tatooine. Asherad Het probably has a lot of opinions about murdered Tuskens that Fox can poke at. And if it gets Skywalker booted out of the Order, all the better. Without his title as a Jedi, without the influence of being close to Padme, with the notoriety of having done something like that, he'll be far less of a threat. Just another tarnished war hero who got a whole slew of his men killed and covered up mass slaughter. No wonder he becomes Vader so quickly, Fox thinks,
And he can feel it again, those tight fingers around his throat, the snap of his spine under the force of them. He'd made a mistake. His men had fired on what they thought was a Jedi escaping the temple, and it had actually been Vader. He'd never been in danger, hadn't even blinked at the blaster bolts, but he'd still killed Fox for it. Not new to revenge, Fox thinks, and rubs compulsively at his throat, his heartbeat picking up, too quick, too much. Fox, Mace says, and Fox's eyes slide open, fear jolted sideways into relief. Not then. Now. Now, when Mace is here and alive and watching him, dark eyes concerned, expression stern, but with something softer underneath. And Fox takes two steps forward, catches him by the hips, and pushes him right up against the pillar. He doesn't try for the kiss he's been wanting for days now, just slumps forward, dropping his head on Mace's collarbone, and breathes out. Sorry, he says, gruff. Mace's hand slides up his back, careful, gentle, and Fox feels hot, hot with relief and the shake of old memories, and the way he wants Mace, here and now and desperately. Mace is steady, strong, and Fox just needs to lean on him for a second. You have nothing to apologize for, Mace says quietly. Everyone needs a moment to be less than steady at times. Trust a Jedi to see right to the heart of things, Mace thinks, and snorts. I want to eat dinner with you, and then go to sleep on top of you, he says. Mace's long, deft fingers slide through his hair, curl lightly around the back of his neck. And he can't know, but it's right over the spot where Skywalker snapped Fox's spine just a few days ago, by his reckoning. It feels like he's guarding the spot, hiding it, and that alone makes Fox's breath come easier.
I believe, Mace says gravely, that can be arranged, Fox. I am entirely yours for the evening.
Fox thinks of Skywalker's loud, perfectly entitled, there's nothing more important than the way I feel about you. And huffs.
I don't want you to be mine, he says. I just want us together. No owning.
Mace is quiet for a long moment, then breathes out, a low, amused curl of sound in Fox's ear.
No possession, he agrees. But I have a headache, and time in your company sounds like the best relief. And I believe I was promised dinner.
Mace wants to spend time in his company. He's choosing this. Choosing Fox. And something in Fox's chest settles, eases. He tips his head, presses a light kiss to the curve of Mace's throat, and says,
I guess you were.
Mace hums, soft.
Neo is arriving tonight, he says gravely. Were you aware?
Fox pauses, lifts his head. Neo has very distinct ideas about his general's dignity and the appropriateness of every clone wanting to bang Mace like a hangar door in a Kamino windstorm. Neo is also famously hard to rile, which means Fox has always made it one of his top missions to rile Neo at every possible opportunity.
Oh yeah?
He asks, and grins, all teeth.
Be a criffing shame if he realized you were in my bunk.
Mace just looks amused, and he raises a brow at Fox.
I believe you have to get me there first, Fox.
Challenge accepted, Fox decides, without hesitation, and drags him away.